and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Beatitudes. Sanctifying Grace. The life of the soul. The most spiritual thing deposited in our spiritual soul. The grace that makes us children of God, because it preserves us from the death of sin, and who is not dead lives in the house of the Father. Paradise in my kingdom, heaven. What is this? Grace that sanctifies and gives life and kingdom? Oh, not many words are required. Grace is love. Grace is therefore God. It is God who, admiring himself in the creature whom he created perfect, loves himself, contemplates himself, desires himself, gives himself what is his own to multiply it, to delight in the multiplication, to love himself in the many others who are others himself. Oh, my children, do not defraud God of this right of his. Do not deprive God of what belongs to him. Do not disappoint God in his desire. Consider that he acts out of love. Even if you did not exist, he would still be infinite, and his power would not diminish. But he, although he is complete in his infinite, immeasurable measure, does not want anything for himself, and in himself, which he could not, because he is already infinite, but for creation, his creature. He wants to increase his love for all rational creatures contained in creation, and therefore gives you his grace, love that you may carry it in yourselves to the perfection of saints, and you may pour this treasure, taken from the treasure that God has given you with his grace and increased by all the holy deeds in all your heroic lives of saints, into the infinite ocean where God is, into heaven. You are divine reservoirs of love. That is what you are. And no death is given to your being because you are eternal, and God is being like God. You shall be, and there will be no end to your being, because you are immortal, like the Holy Spirits that supernourished you, returning to you enriched by their own merits. You live and nourish. You live and enrich. You live and form the most holy thing, which is the communion of the saints from God, the most perfect spirit, down to the last born baby who sucks his mother's breast for the first time. Do not criticize me in your hearts, O learned men. Do not say He is crazy. He is a liar. Because he speaks foolishly, saying that there is grace in us, when sin has deprived us of it. He lies, stating that we are already one thing with God. Yes, there is sin, and there is separation. But before the power of the Redeemer, sin, the cruel separation between the Father and the children, will collapse like a wall shaken by a new Samson. I have already got hold of it, and I am shaking it, and it is about to fall, and Satan is trembling with wrath and impotence. As he can avail nothing against my power, and he realizes that so much prey is being snatched from him, and that it is becoming more difficult to drag man to sin. Because when I will have taken you to my Father through me, and you have been cleansed and strengthened by my blood and sorrow, grace will come back to you, lively and powerful, and you will be triumphant, if you so wish. God does no violence to your thoughts or your sanctification. You are free. But he gives you back your strength. He gives you back your freedom from Satan's empire. It is up to you to take upon yourselves the infernal yoke, or to put angelic wings on your souls. It depends on you. With me as your brother, to guide you and nourish you with an immortal food. You may ask, how can one conquer God and his kingdom? Through a milder road than the harsh Sinai one. There is no other road but that one. But let us look at it not from the point of view of a threat, but from the point of view of love. Let us not say, woe to me, if I do not do that, trembling with fear of sinning, or not being able not to sin. But let us say, how glad I will be if I do that. And with the impulse of a supernatural joy, full of happiness, let us rush toward these beatitudes, brought about by compliance with the law, as roses sprout from a thorny bush. How happy I will be if I am poor in spirit, because mine shall be the kingdom of heaven. How happy I will be if I am gentle, because I shall have the earth for my heritage. How happy I will be if I mourn without rebelling, because I will be comforted. How happy I will be if I hunger and thirst for justice more than I do for bread and wine, to satisfy the flesh, because justice will satisfy me. How happy I will be if I am merciful, because I will have divine mercy shown me. How happy I will be if I am pure in heart, because God will bend over my pure heart and I will see him. How happy I will be if I am peaceful in spirit, because God will call me his son, because love is in peace and God is love. Who loves whoever is like him. How happy I will be if I am persecuted in the cause of right, because God, my Father, to reward me for my earthly persecutions, will give me the kingdom of heaven. How happy I will be if I am abused and accused falsely for being your son. O God, it must not cause me desolation but joy, as it will make me equal to your best servants, to the prophets, who were persecuted for the same reason, and with whom I firmly believe I shall share the same great eternal reward in heaven, which is mine. Let us look thus at the way of salvation through the joy of saints. How happy I will be if I am poor in spirit. O satanic thirst for wealth, to what frenzy you lead both rich and poor. The rich who live for their gold, the ill-famed idol of their ruined spirits, the poor who live hating the rich because of their gold, and even if they do not murder them physically, they curse the rich, wishing them all sorts of evil. It is not enough not to do evil. One must not even wish to do it. He who curses, wishing calamities and death, is very like him who kills physically, because he wishes the death of the person he hates. I solemnly tell you that such a wish is like an action held back. It is like a fetus conceived in a womb and formed, but not yet ejected. A wicked desire corrupts and ruins man, because it lasts longer than a violent action and is deeper than the action itself. If a rich man is poor in spirit, he does not sin for the sake of his gold, but he turns his gold into sanctification, because he turns it into love. Loved and blessed, he is like spring water that saves travelers in a desert, and he gives generously without avarice, happy to be able to relieve desperate situations. If he is poor, he is happy in his poverty and eats his bread, which is sweetened by the joy of being free from the thirst of gold. He sleeps free from nightmares and gives up well rested for his tranquil work, which is always light when done without greed or envy. What makes man materially rich is gold. What makes him morally rich are his affections. Gold comprises not only money, but also houses, fields, jewels, furniture, herds, everything, in other words, that which makes life wealthy materially. Affections include blood or marriage ties, friendship, intellectual soundness, public offices. As you can see, if for the first group a poor man can say, "Oh, as far as I am concerned, providing I do not envy those who are rich, I am all right because I am poor, and thus I am settled by force of circumstances." With regard to the second group, also a poor man must be careful, because also the poorest man can become sinfully rich in spirit, who is immoderately attached to a thing commits a sin. You may say, "Are we then to hate the wealth that God granted us? Why then does he command us to love our fathers, mothers, wives, children, and say, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself'?" You must distinguish. We must love our fathers, mothers, wives, and our neighbor, but in the degree indicated by God, as ourselves. Whereas God is to be loved above everything and with our whole selves. We must not love God as we love the dearest people among our neighbors. Because a woman suckled us, or because she sleeps on our chest and procreates children for us, but we must love him with our whole selves, that is, with the ability to love that is in man. The love of a son, of a husband, of a friend, and do not be scandalized, the love of a father. Yes, we must have, for the interest of God, the same care that a father has for his children, for whom he lovingly protects his wealth and increases it, and he takes care of, is anxious for the physical growth and intellectual education and for their success in the world. Love is not an evil and must not become an evil. The graces which God grants us are not evil and must not become so. They are love, granted out of love. We must make a loving use of such wealth granted to us by God in personal affections, in the worldly goods. And only he who does not make an idol of such wealth, but uses it to serve God in holiness, shows that he has no sinful attachment to it. One that practices the holy poverty in spirit, that deprives itself of everything in order to be more free, to conquer God, the holy supreme wealth. To conquer God, that is to have the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.